There are a number of things that become so commonplace in society that people don't think much about it. Think about divorce. Divorce is so common in today's world, people don't really think much about it. In fact, they have divorce parties now when they get a divorce. Other things are like that. I want to zero in this morning on the idea of gambling. Gambling is a part of society so much so that people don't really think there's anything wrong with it. And you see a tremendous amount of gambling going on. I was in North Carolina one time in a meeting and had a lot of fog and had to divert to Florida. And there was a man on the plane that was going to Florida because they had a lottery down there and he wanted to buy a bunch of tickets. And so here's someone that's so obsessed with this that he flies all the way from North Carolina to Florida just to buy tickets in a lottery. And you see this going on around the world and recognize that what the world does so commonly, sometimes Christians pick up. I've been chastised for preaching this sermon in other places. But I do believe that we need to understand this because gambling in America is bigger than it's ever been. And I've known Christians who would gamble without knowing that it's wrong. So we'd like to really talk about that this morning in such a way that you'd recognize that there's principles of the Bible about this. Though the Bible does not use the word gambling, nevertheless you understand there are principles. At the same time, we read in Acts chapter 1 that the disciples cast lots for the apostle to replace Judas. That was not gambling. That was used by the Holy Spirit to determine who was going to be the apostle after Judas. So we want to zero in on gambling and be sure we understand just exactly what it is. 85% of those who use statistics for such things, 85% say they've gambled one way or the other. Lotteries and casinos are the most common. When people go to Las Vegas, they do that without even thinking anything about it. My wife and I went through there one time just to see what took place. We didn't gamble, but we saw an older, I say much older lady that had five slot machines going at the same time. And I believe that if anybody had sat down at one of her slot machines, she would have flogged them without any doubt whatsoever. Those were her machines, and she was going to use those. But now the lotteries have come into play because they go into the hundreds of millions of dollars. And people just think, oh, if I could just win $100 million, I think I'd be about even in my life if I could get that. But the idea is that billions are being waged, so the ones that win are making a lot of money in that sense. But look how many billions of dollars people lose in order for those to win what they do. So 47 states of America have legalized gambling. So you see, this is a part of the fabric of our nation. People do that, they say, for good causes. They do that for education. They do that for various and sundry causes. And the idea is that the end justifies the means, I suppose. But I want to take a closer look at gambling and just exactly what it does. Gambling takes on different forms. So when we say gambling, we're talking about a broad action of different things. Cards, of course, with poker. And a lot of people play cards without gambling, and I don't see anything wrong with that. But then there's horse racing and dog racing. When I lived in Florida, dog racing was really big. And then, of course, the lottery, the huge payout and millions of dollars really captures people's attention. Then the bingo. Somebody said one time, do you know how to play bingo? And they replied, no, I'm not Catholic. Because the Catholic Church has often had bingo parties, and of course raffle tickets, and slot machines, and roulette, betting on ball games, and a lot of money is spent on ball games, both football and baseball, and pitching or matching coins. And that's where sometimes the children get involved in this sort of thing. They'll pitch coins, or maybe match coins, and they get used to that sort of thing. So when I talk about gambling, there are a whole range of things that could be called gambling, and there's a principle involved in that that we want to look at that makes it clearly wrong. What gambling is according to the online encyclopedia, wagering money or other items of value on an uncertain event that is dependent either wholly on chance, or as in roulette, or partly on chance and partly on skill, as in certain card games and in sporting contests. So sometimes there will be an element of skill, but it's always an element of chance with regard to that. And further, the Random House College Dictionary said, the gambling is to play any game of chance for stakes, to stake or risk money or anything of value on the outcome of something involving chance, a bet, or wager. Now, what came to my mind when I traveled through West Texas was the Four Sixes Ranch. I don't know if you've ever seen that or not, but there's a big ranch, about 2,500 acres in West Texas, and the rumor had it, and I looked this up before I preached this because I wanted to know for sure, that they were gambling in the ranch house, and the owner lost the ranch because the other guy had four sixes and he had bet the ranch on that. That's a rumor. I found out that's not true. But it makes a good story. The idea of somebody losing a big ranch on cards is sort of dramatic, and you think, well, that's what happens when you play that. But a lot of people have come away from Las Vegas broke because they bet all they could on that. So what you're talking about, let's say the lottery is $100 million, and it goes way above that. The lottery is $100 million, and it's uncertain who's going to win that. And so you buy some tickets, and you have a stake or wager in that, anything of value. And here's the principle that we need to understand with gambling: for one to win, all the others have to lose. Now, we need to weigh that as a child of God and whether or not we would do that to someone. So gambler number one has to compete among 2 million, maybe other gamblers, or even more than that. And somebody is going to win, but that everybody else has to lose. And we want to talk about that a little bit more as we go along. And so clearly defining gambling, people sometimes say, well, they try to excuse gambling by looking at other things. And so they take the normal and customary risk of business life and say, well, that's gambling too. And so I've heard that about farming. Farming is a gamble, and it's not. God has built into the seed principle that when you plant, you'll always reap more than you sow. So it's not a risk of losing. And farming is not to be considered with gambling. And stock market, they say, is gambling. But that's not. It's where you buy stock, which is mean loaning money to someone to make a profit and make your profit grow. So it's not really the same thing as gambling, because not only just one can win, but others can win. So you have those kinds of arguments. In gambling, one stands to gain at the loss of all the others. That's the basic principle of what gambling really is, and we need to emphasize that point. In farming, profit is not sought at the loss of others, and risk is not contrived because of the inherent seed principle. God put life in the seed, and when you plant seed, sometimes you lose and sometimes you don't. But the point is that all through life, farming has generated enough food for everybody to eat. And so it's not to be confined as gambling at all. When you look then at the sinful parts of gambling, the essential motive is greed. I don't think anybody could successfully deny that. Now, somebody may say, well, it's just a matter of pennies, and I'm looking at a principle here. If you can gamble for pennies, you can gamble for millions of dollars. So when people start to say, well, I just go out on vacation, and what I use for fun, and it's not really gambling. Yes, it is. When I was in North Carolina, the elders invited me to join the Lions Club. And I went down to one of the meetings of the Lions Club, and lo and behold, they were giving everybody raffle tickets to sell raffles for a car. And I thought, are the elders participating in this? And one of the men stood up and said, now this is not really gambling. And there was a Marine there from the base. He said, well, of course it's gambling. I'm going to go out and tell the people on the base that I sell these tickets to that we're gambling for a car. It's a raffle for a car. Well, I didn't join the, it was the Rotary Club. I didn't join the Rotary Club, and I didn't think that the elders should even been a part of it either. And I don't think they took any gambling tickets, but it's greed. I want a new car. I'll buy a ticket for a dollar and I may win a new car. Boy, wouldn't that be good. And so it affects you and when you're thinking about it inside. And of course it talks about coveting. And coveting is a sin, and it's something that has to do with the idea of fixing your passion upon. So turn to Ephesians. Get there just a moment. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 5, and the Apostle Paul is addressing this. As you look at the principles that are involved in this, and you're able to understand the principle of it. This is a new Bible, and it's still thin pages. In chapter 5 and verse 5, "For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God." That makes it pretty clear. You just can't covet and go to heaven. And when you look at that, that's what people are doing, and they might try to gloss it over. You know, and I know, the idea of something for nothing is real thrilling, and it sets your passions on that. Colossians 3 and verse 5, "Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry." And so when you elevate that dollar to the place of idolatry, it certainly has to be wrong. And notice in these passages what the things are that are associated with covetousness: idolatry and fornication and passionate things. And so by the company that it's there, you know that it's wrong. And so love of money is the root of gambling. Now we're told that the love of money is the root of all evil, and we understand that to be true. People will do anything for money. And the idea of gambling is for money. And there are people that actually are obsessed with that and addicted to gambling. In fact, when you go to Las Vegas, there will be a phone number that you can call. If you're addicted to gambling, they will try to help you not be addicted to gambling. So they recognize this in society, that this is something that is a problem, because it causes a lot of people to lose their families and a lot of other things. So the remedy for this idea of covetousness: seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things of the earth. Now, if you can, just imagine someone who has an addiction for gambling. I've seen it. Well, is it not possible to have an addiction to go to heaven? That you set your mind on this as fabulously as you do on gambling? You see, you set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are beneath, and you can have the same force of addiction to go into heaven as you could trying to gamble. And the idea is that you have to look at something higher than that, and we're supposed to look on things that are higher, as the Bible tells us do. Here is one of the principles that it violates. That is, it violates the principle of honest labor. One is to earn income from his own work. That's what the Apostle Paul taught. He said, "If you're not going to work, neither shall you eat. And let him that stole steal no more, rather labor with his hands, that he may have to give to him that has not." So the idea of working honest labor, that's what we have income for, from, and we need to be ready to do that. We live in a society that has developed an entire level of society on the handout. You know, and I know, that in America today, there are people that want something for nothing. There's a whole layer of welfare people who do not want to work. In fact, some of the women that I've seen on television have up to 8 children. And there was one called Octomom, and she said, "Somebody's got to take responsibility for these kids." Yeah. Yeah, even before they were born, somebody ought to take responsibility. But there's an element of that in society, and good politicians can zero in on that to get votes. And that's what's happening a lot in America today. Recognizing that there's some people that want something for nothing. And whether it's the gamblers or the welfare cheats, and I'm not opposed to welfare to those who need it, but when you have people who cheat because they don't want to work, they're violating a principle of the Bible. And that would be true for those who are coveting things. So as you look at this, you recognize the problems of gambling. Again, the essential motive is, and I think I'm going backward here, it perpetuates the get something for nothing mentality. That in itself is sinful. The idea that the world owes me a living. And when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and they were forced to leave the garden, God told them they would earn their living by the sweat of their brow. Honest labor is what we ought to be doing. And the problem of gambling is that it gambles away money, evades responsibility to provide for the family. And you know and I know that many gamblers have not had the money to feed their family. They lose their car, they lose their house, they wind up losing all their income, and they don't have any money left for the family. And so this is wrong as well. Gambling is accompanied by other things. Matthew 7:16, you will know them by their fruits. The men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles. Well, we looked at Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3, and notice what covetousness is buried among those other things that are sinful, and that's what we're being told. And so, because it is sinful, it cannot produce good things. Gambling does not produce good. Gambling produces problems. Greed, domestic violence, child abuse, divorce, theft, fraud, organized crime, prostitution, murder, drinking, suicide, and many people have killed themselves when they leave Las Vegas because they're totally broke. They have no place to go home to. They jump off a bridge or they step in front of a train. All these things are taking place as a result of the sin of gambling. Now we can sit here in Mansfield and we might look at it and say, well, gambling's not too bad. But you get out to some of the places like horse racing and dog racing in Las Vegas and Reno, and you see derelicts who would actually spend their last dime on gambling because they're so addicted to it, and they don't have the normal responses about things of life, and they go through all of these things. And so gambling destroys confidence, credibility, reliability, and often the security between spouses and family members. I've known of individuals who would gamble away the money, even taking the money that the wife has made. I know one couple, she had the savings from where she worked. And the husband wanted to gamble. He cashed in her savings and they were gone. She didn't even know it till it was later. All her savings was gone because her husband gambled it away. Are you surprised that they're divorced today? But you see what these things do. They take away confidence and all these other things. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Proverbs 15:16. So when you see on television that this coming Saturday or whatever it is, they're going to have this big lottery. People line up to buy those lottery tickets. I was in a grocery store one time and there was a lady in front of me who was coming to pick up a hot check. She had written a hot check, didn't have enough money to cover that for groceries, and she picked up the hot check and she paid for it, and she said, by the way, give me 5 lottery tickets. But that's not responsible living. The idea that here she has such a hard time, she writes hot checks, pays to pay the fee for the hot check, and then while she's there, she buys 5 lottery tickets. And that says somebody's addicted to that, and they're hoping for a rescue. They're hoping that maybe, and of course, winning the lottery, they say, is equal to getting struck by lightning. It's that rare. Well, I know that there are people that get struck by lightning. I understand that. And there are people who win the lottery. But I've also read the history of the people who win the lottery. Most of them die broke. They don't know how to handle that kind of money. They don't know what to do with it. And they spend it like it's always going to be there. And of course, it's not always going to be there. So, gambling does not promote godliness. Now, that may not mean anything to a whole segment of society, godliness. But that's something for we who are Christians. Can the following be said of gambling? And if you just notice one or two of these passages, you can look them up if you want to, and to recognize the things that are being said. But here's godliness in practice in Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 8. The scripture says, I'm in Colossians. Let me get back to Philippians. Philippians 4 and verse 8. Some of you probably have it on your electronics before I do. And that's all right. Philippians 4 and in verse 8. And it still goes to Colossians. This paper is so thin. All right. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Now, what this verse is saying and the others are saying, can this be said of gambling? And you know and I know that it cannot. Now, somebody that is wedded to gambling is going to object to this sermon. Just like the one fellow who got on to me because of that. He wanted to do that. But the point is that gambling is deceptive. You're just always near winning, you think. And that's deceptive. And the Bible says, do not be deceived. Evil companions corrupt good habits. 1 Corinthians 15:33. So we need to understand what happens with regard to gambling. It consumes people. Just consumes them and make them do things they shouldn't do. There's a constant appeal to raw greed. I must confess, I'd like to have $200 million. One thing we'd do is build a building. Right here. So is it okay if I won the lottery, if I play the lottery, if I say I'm going to give part of it to God? And that's how a lot of people justify it. Well, I'm going to win the lottery and I'm going to give 10% to God. Well, what are you doing with the $20 you've got in your billfold? I can say what I would do if I win $1 million. What am I doing with what I've got in my pocket? So that sort of tells us understanding that something's wrong. And there's that carefully crafted fantasy of getting rich quick. And you see people who are winning when they do win. And so here's one person that wins the lottery. Over here is 100 million people. Nobody talks about those. Here's 100 million people who've lost their money. And I wonder if the great, if the golden rule would authorize that. Do unto others the way you'd have them do unto you. And would you like for 200 million people to give up $10 apiece so that I can win the millions? And that's exactly what we have to stop and think about. And so, trap of devastating addiction. Had a brother-in-law who's passed away now. He would bet on anything. He would bet on anything. He died totally broke. Didn't have a job. And was living in a hotel. Because he was just addicted to gambling. And he lost everything that he had. And of course, what really happens is the poor people who don't have much money, they're dreaming that maybe I can get rich. And so I'm poor, I don't have anything, but rather than buy food and medicine and clothes, I'm going to buy some lottery tickets because I don't want to be poor anymore. And the Bible says to be content with such as we have. And it offers success and freedom. And that's what the devil does too. The devil says, if you'll follow me, you're going to have success and you're going to have freedom. And he's already in problems himself. Well, the conclusion of all this is that gambling is a product of worldliness and an effort to lay up treasure on this earth, where thieves break through and steal, and where it corrupts. It's a deceiver, it's a mocker, and a destroyer of lives and family of souls. That's true. Those are facts that cannot be denied. Now, someone who's so addicted, they don't want to hear this. They don't want to understand this. But it's an addiction, and it caused people to lose their families and all of those things. So we're supposed to put away covetousness and greediness. And I used the illustration one time when I was preaching on modesty. And there was a television program of, I think, What's My Line, I think it was. Bridget Bardot was on the panel. And she had a cigarette box. And the question was, what's in that box? Nobody guessed it. It was her bikini. It was her bikini. So I said, could you imagine Mary in a bikini like that? And you really can't, because she was godly. Well, how about this? How about using Jesus as an example, and you go to Las Vegas? Can you see Jesus having five slot machines and fighting off anybody that might want to put a nickel in because these are mine and I need to be rich? And Jesus never owned a house. He never owned an acre of ground. He simply gave all for you and for me. And so we need to be content with our life and press on toward heaven. Now, I hope that you don't spank me at the door after this lesson is, like this other brother did. I believe this is the truth. I believe gambling is a nationwide problem. Almost all the states have it now. And we try to disguise it with good things, but it really doesn't do that. Gambling is a sin, and Christians shouldn't be gambling. So I'll leave that with your conscience as to whether or not you're going to buy a lottery ticket or play bingo or flip coins or whatever it might be, because I think the principle is that all of that is wrong. This morning, if you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, come closer to the Lord. We invite you to obey the gospel of Christ, become a child of God, and put your life in His hands. If you're a member of the church and you've gone astray in some way that needs public prayer, we're glad to pray with you and for you that you might be forgiven. Would you come as we stand and sing the invitation number, please?